just in one of them moods this morning. I'm not sure. I'm not sad. I'm just, I don't know. I'm as happy as I've ever been, but I don't know why I'm crying. I was going to get one of the elders to read you a scripture this morning, and then I thought, no, I don't want to spring that on them like people spring stuff on me. I want to read you one of my favorite scriptures this week. It hangs on the wall at the diner. 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn to it. 2 Corinthians 3:17. While y'all turning to it, I'm gonna find me a. What's that? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you where your Spirit is, there is freedom. Lord, I believe there's someone here today that's been tied to something. They've been held down. They followed you most of their life. They're believers, strong believers. But maybe they forgot. Where your Spirit is, there's freedom. There's freedom. And they can be set free from that. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you got your outlines out, first go ahead and look at the back side of your page. I was supposed to remind y'all, but there's a night of praise coming October 29th. And just to remind people, don't get mad when I forget to make an announcement if you don't put it in that basket. It's just the way I am. I'm liable to forget it. In our We started last week with the story of Samson, finding everyday strength in our families and our job at school and in the workplace, just around our everyday, ordinary walking around life. Where do we find this strength? And I told you there was five things that you could do. And I only gave you three of them. To be strong people. I gave you, the first one was strong people develop strong motives. We learned some negative things from Samson. As a matter of fact, most of his life was negative, so I wanted to teach you to do the opposite. The reason why we talked about develop strong motives is most of Samson's life, he was done out of anger and revenge, that he would kill people. And he didn't do it for other people, but we found out that anger and revenge just won't last. The only thing that'll last is when we love, when we do things and serve people out of love. And we said that the why we do things is more important than what we do. Then the second thing that we use to find our strength is strong people depend on others. Samson fought by himself. He did everything by himself. He never asked for help. He would just go out and beat people up and slaughter people, and he always fought alone. Well, we found out from Samson's life, the people, the Jewish people, went to the Philistines and said, hey, if you'll just leave us alone, we'll give you Samson. And an incredible lesson from that is, if you don't fight with your people, they'll turn on you. They'll turn on you. If you don't get down in your trenches, in the trenches with your folks, they'll eventually turn on you. The third thing was strong people discipline their desires. Samson fell in love with the wrong thing. And I'm not talking about just a woman. He fell in love with his lust. He used his lust, he was using his lust to feel this deepest desire that only God could feel. He put it before God. Sometimes we do that too. We fall in love with food. We fall in love with alcohol. We fall in love with popularity. We fall in love with our appearance. We fall in love with fame. We fall in love with the wrong things sometimes. And they never feel that deepest need that we have. So we're undisciplined in those. I gave you an example of a great verse. And you guys filled my communion tray with notes of what you needed to flee from. The verse said, flee from your youthful desires. Then you wrote down who you, in order to flee from your youthful desires, you had to replace it with something good. It said, run towards something else, righteousness and peace and love. Then that verse said, then you got to change who you run with. Because if you're still chasing those desires, you're running with the wrong people. And to run towards something else, you got to run with people who are after the same thing. You may have to change your companions. You guys placed that on the altar. You gave it as a sacrifice. Strong people discipline their desires. The fourth thing is this. Strong people trust God's Spirit. God's Spirit is our power source. It's our power source. God's Spirit gives us strength, and we got to plug into it. You know, it's where we get the power. And Samson, he never really depended on God's Spirit. He experienced it a lot of times, but he never really depended on it. But how do I know this? Because when God's Spirit left him, he didn't even know it. He didn't even recognize what had happened. Let's look at him after he's captured by the enemy. Then she called. Delilah did. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. I believe this is one of the most tragic statements in the Bible. Amen. He didn't even know that the Spirit had left him. He was unaware what was happening. He was unaware that his life was spiraling down and down. He didn't even know. He just assumed that he would always be strong. And now he winds up weak. Guys, I encourage you to not let your strengths become your weakness. Don't let your strength become your weakness. Some of you guys are brand new to this life of faith. And others, like me, have been doing it a long time. We long in the tooth for this life of faith. But what I know something else is you and I are in danger of our strengths becoming our weakness. Because we want to rely on how we used to do it. A lot of times we want to rely on our past experiences instead of relying on a fresh power of God. And maybe that's what I'm feeling this morning, a fresh power. There's gives us fresh and new power, the Holy Spirit, daily renewing us. Amen. Us old hands forget that sometimes. And our strength's going to become our weakness. It happens to every one of us. Guys, I want to tell you, as your pastor and somebody that loves you, don't let your strengths become your weakness. Keep depending on God's Spirit. You cannot be strong apart from God's power, and you can't have God's power apart from God's Spirit. You can't be strong without it. Believe me, I know. When I attempt to be strong away from and apart from His Spirit, I just come up empty. I come up just wanting to quit. I come up just wanting to give up. Y'all ever done that? When I want to be strong with my power. If you're gonna do God's work, and if you're going to do the great purpose that he needs for your life, that he has planned for your life, then you need God's Spirit. Now, if you just want to do your work, all you need is your Spirit. But if you want to do God's work, you got to have His Spirit, His power. And I know we talk a lot about Spirit, especially during this series, Everyday Heroes, what it means to be that. And there's a reason we talk about His Spirit. It's one of the keys to living out this everyday strength, this everyday hero kind of life. God's Spirit is where we get this strength, this everyday strength, this everyday hope, this everyday love, this everyday purpose, this everyday life. And I want to tell you something about God's Spirit, this everyday strength that we're talking about, that you need to understand that you don't necessarily feel strong every day. You just don't feel strong every day. But it isn't. It's not about the strength that you feel. That you're feeling stronger, because God's Spirit strengthens you even when you feel weak. So it's not about how you feel. Because sometimes I don't feel like loving folks. It's about doing the right thing when you don't feel like. Sometimes I don't feel like praying, to be honest with you. But it's about praying anyway. Sometimes I sure don't feel like forgiving, but it's about forgiving anyway, because it's the right thing to do and not because you feel like it. Sometimes I want to give up. I want to walk away. But it's not the right thing to do. I find in those times that I'm trying to do things on my own power and not the Spirit of God. And when I pray for those folks that I don't want to pray for, in that moment I receive God's power. I receive His Spirit. Guys, I want to tell you, you cannot live out the purpose of God without His Spirit. Without His Spirit. Well, how do you do this? Because I know some of you are thinking, Jim, you're just kind of spiritual this morning. What does this even mean? How does this happen in my life? A fellow named Bill Bright said one time, it's called spiritual breathing. And I connected with that because physical breathing is breathe in, breathe out. And I got to do that to be physically healthy. For my physical being, I got to breathe in and breathe out, don't I? And he related it to spiritual breathing. He said, I breathe out. I'm forgiven. Then when I breathe in, I remember I'm given. I'm forgiven. I'm given. I'm forgiven. I'm given. He says, when I remember those two things during the day, I'm spiritually renewed. I breathe in. I breathe out. I recognize that God has forgiven me, and I realize that I'm given God's strength and power by His Spirit. And He promised me. I breathe in and I breathe out. I'm forgiven. And I'm given His power. And I'm given His Spirit. Here's the promise in Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. And that's my prayer for you. I prayed that for the 8 o'clock service this morning. And you're a much bigger crowd, but I want to pray that for y'all. Bow your heads with me. My Lord, you know everyone here, and you know their circumstances. And some are struggling right now. Some are wanting to give up, and some are struggling with their whole spirituality. And I pray that from your glorious unlimited resources, that you will empower them with inner strength through your Spirit. I'm forgiven. And I'm given your Spirit. I'm empowered by you. Bless my church. Bless the folks here. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to keep praying for you that this week. The fifth truth we learn from Samson is actually positive. We've learned some things not to do, and this is the one truth that we learn from Samson that he did right. Now, he doesn't start off right, but he wound up right. Strong people never give up. Strong people never give up. Strong people never give up. Samson is captured by the enemy. And this next verse, to me, seems like one of the most hopeless verses in the Bible. 21 says, then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in prison. Now, I want you to picture yourself here. This I can almost see him, this former strong man, strongest in the world, victor. He was a soldier. And now he was blind and he was chained to a pole which was pushing a grinding wheel, a millstone, all day long and all night. With people, you know, I can just see some little old fella with the short man syndrome trying to whip him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody's been picked on all the time, and this is their chance to get back. And he's slapping Samson, making him push. Grinding at that millstone. Now, I want you to know where I'm going. Emotionally, a lot of us know exactly what Samson's going through right here. I call it grinding at the millstone of your past failures. Grinding at the millstone of your past failures. There's some failure in your life or somewhere you messed up and you're just tied to it. You're just chained to it. And you're just walking around in circles. Woe is me. pushing to it. You're just grinding at it every day. And when there's nothing else to think about, you think about that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you have opportunities in your life. But that thing you're tied to brings you down. It just brings you down. It might be some sin in your life. It may be something you failed at. It might be where somebody that sinned against you did to you. You're still holding on to it. You're still grinding. You're still tied to that pole. And you're walking in circles and you're missing out on life that God has for you because you're just tied. It's what you're thinking about. You just can't get away from it. I want you to remember 2 Corinthians 3:17 because I want you to know that God's Spirit will set you free from whatever you've tied yourself to, from whatever someone else has tied yourself to, your past, your mistakes, what somebody else has done to you, for whatever. You don't have to be tied there. I know it may seem like it's impossible because it's been going on so long. But I hope this story of Samson can give you some hope today and what God can do. Whether you're tied to that bitterness, whether you're tied to that hurt, every day you're just going round and round and round. Let me read you this next verse. But the hair on his head began to grow. Again. Ooh. After it had been shaved. Now, it don't always work for everybody. But the hair on his head began to grow. Again. There's that glimmer of hope. Again, it began to grow. Just a little bit of fuzz. There was this light. You see, all it takes is a little bit. The Bible calls it a mustard seed of faith. There's hope. Again, that's a renewal. All is not lost. Not when God's Spirit is involved. Not if you're connected to his Spirit, his power. Samson doesn't deserve this. This grace, this hope, but God gives it to him. Samson could have easily given up, couldn't he? And everybody would have understood, but he doesn't. But it starts with this glimmer of hope. A little bit of hair coming back. Just a little bit. Just this glimmer. Just a little light. For some of you, I'm praying that right now that God has given you this glimmer of hope. Just a little bit of hair coming back. And that maybe he would release you from this past failure. That maybe he could release you from this past sin. Maybe he could release you from this past hurt that somebody else done to you. And get you off this millstone. And continue just walking around in circles and set you free. And everything that you want to give up, you realize you don't have to give up. You don't have to give it up. But it starts with this glimmer. That's where it started with Samson. He was taken to this temple of the Philistines. You know why they took him there? Ridiculing. They're going to say, look at him now. Look at the strong man now. This guy used to whoop all of us. He used to put terror in there. Look at him now. Put him on display. But Samson learned somewhere, Samson learned that God still had a purpose for his life. Let me read. I didn't put it in your outline, but I want to read this to you. Starting in verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me And please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he, remember this verse here, guys. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. It said Samson prayed to the Lord. God gave Samson a second chance. Samson had the greatest victory as a soldier at the end of his life. More people killed, and in one event right there, there's real hope for every one of us. Maybe you're here and you feel like you've messed your life up, that all is lost. How could God ever love me? How could God ever love somebody that's messed their life up like me? How could God love me because somebody else messed my life up? You may be thinking that way, you know, I'm damaged goods. Well, you're not. God loves you. There's freedom. You've been tied to that millstone all your life. You've been walking in circles thinking that somebody else screwed you up and you're damaged because of it and nobody will love you. Well, that's just simply not true. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You're renewed again. You're not defeated. God can use you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Even after the greatest sin, even after the greatest failures, even after the things that was done to you, don't give up. It's not too late. The first thing Samson did that caused him not to give up was to pray. And up until now, I haven't never read where Samson prayed before. This may have been the first time he'd ever prayed. So that tells me and it reminds me that it's not too late for me and you. If this man's never prayed before and all of a sudden he prays, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I've never prayed before. Why would God be interested in hearing what I got to say? He's waiting and he's listening for you. I don't care how old you are. He wants to hear from you. He said, I don't want you to give up. So maybe that's where your hope starts. The second thing Samson did is he gave himself up. Let me die with these people. He said he gave himself up for sacrificial service. His greatest victory was at the end of his life. And there's some clues here that where we might find everyday strength. That there's some sacrifices that we need to make in our lives. Sacrifices of love, sacrifices of commitment, sacrifices of time, sacrifice just to be there for someone else. One of the keys to not giving up is getting to a place in your life that you're not just looking at your pain. But you're looking at above to someone else's, to how you can love them and how you can serve them and look beyond your pain. And let someone else's pain and let someone else's need be different from yours, that be above yours. That you would consider others, as Paul says in Philippians, more important than yourself. It's sacrificial service. People all around you that are hurting. God didn't put you on this earth just for you. He put you on this earth to make a difference for other people. And that comes from the sacrifice of our time. It comes from the sacrifice of our words. It comes from the sacrifice of our faith, of our gifts. Then you're going to start to see God's purpose in your life. Until your life becomes about other people, you live a small life. Write this down. Strength comes from sacrifice. That's where real everyday strength comes from. It comes from sacrifice. I got to ask you this question. If you live a selfish life, and why would God give me strength if I'm just going to use it for myself? Why would he give you strength if you're just going to use it for yourself? He gives people strength who are willing to sacrifice for other people and serve other people. You see, Jesus said we didn't come on this earth to be served, but to serve. Paul talks about it in Romans 12:1. I put that in there, I think. Therefore, I didn't put therefore. I don't know why I didn't put therefore, but let's say it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You're worshiping God when you offer yourself to him and to those who he loves, to be used to love him and to serve him, to love other people and to serve others. These are the keys to everyday strength. Get this, it ain't about you. It ain't about you. It ain't easy to live this kind of life. I know. It's just not easy. There's lots of discouragement everywhere in this world that wants us, me and you, to keep from being an everyday hero. I mean, I'd like to have better motives. But sometimes I do things out of anger. I'd like to do a better job of depending on others. I would really like to do a better job of disciplining my desires. But I keep going back to that stuff sometimes that I know is hurting me, to that person I know is hurting me. How do you become a never give up person? When you always want to give up. And some of you guys know they're, well, you don't even have to be close to me. I've said it before. Sometimes I want to give up. Sometimes I want to walk away. Say, no, it's enough. Sometimes I want to quit. I don't need people getting mad at me for stupid reasons. How do you give your life to a, or how do you give your life as a living sacrifice? That's a high bar. That's a high bar. The only way I do this is to remember. I remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It's the only way I keep going. When I get that old spirit of quitting. When I get that old spirit of giving up. When I can't find the strength out of my emotions and my willpower. It's the only way I remember is the cross. That's why I have reminders, verses, and things all around me. You see, because the strength doesn't begin with us, it begins with him. These everyday strength. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. It begins with him. Nothing we do, nothing we say. I don't know if you're at the point of giving up or not this morning. But if you are coming from someone who has this old evil spirit on him lots of times, I know how you can get out of it. Is to remember that Jesus sacrificed his life for you so that you could love others sacrificially. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, what do we do? What do we do? The plan is Jesus. There is no plan B. We keep going. We don't give up. But Lord, there's someone here today I know is ready to throw in the towel. And they're feeling weak. We've all been through it. I like it that you're a God of second chances. That you taught me in Samson that the hair will begin to grow again. If we just cry out. And that real life is about serving you and serving others. Not this shallow life that's all about me. Well, I have compassion for folks that live a selfish life. Now that I've found out what a real life is. So there may be someone sitting there that's lived their life for themselves a long time. They've hoarded up things, held on to things, and they've relied on finances and relied on their savings account more than they've relied on you. They've relied on their popularity more than they've relied on you. And now their strengths are becoming their weakness. I pray that today that they realize that their strength is in your Spirit. That they would trust in you. And Jesus, remind folks it starts with you. We love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.